Hello, this is Andrew Phipps, and I welcome you to our BBS podcast tonight. We have a tremendous format in place for you. I think you're going to enjoy the various segues, and obviously it's just a special delight for us to be able to be a part of your evening with faith, family, and freedom. And those are three special words that I think should be germane to each one of us. And tonight we are excited because we always like to have a guest, and we have different things maybe that some podcasts might or might not have. But for our own particular sphere of influence, we're going to share some different things tonight. And I'm so happy that as our first guest, Dave Young from over in Warren County, Ohio. He's the commissioner there. He's a very outstanding person in the community from a business standpoint, and civic leader, political activist. And so I want to welcome Dave Young to our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcast tonight. And I certainly thank him for taking time to be a part of this particular emphasis tonight. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's good to have you because we like to have people that are very involved in the community. And you were giving me some particulars, and I'm going to let you take the narrative here in just a moment. But we were talking about the size, the demographics of Warren County. I know to be a commissioner there is a place of great influence because across the nation, even in our state of Indiana, we have commissioners. And of course, some counties have larger populations. But with Warren County being about 250,000 people, and you've got a budget there, you said, of about 90 millions per year. Tell us about this endeavor that you just spoke to the Chamber of Commerce today about you allocating money for the tennis tournament there. I may be in the dark, but maybe you can enlighten all of us about that.
Yeah, well, again, thanks for having me. Warren County is a suburban county just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. So you've got Hamilton County, and then you've got suburban Cincinnati, which is basically Butler County, Claremont County, and then Warren County. We have about 250,000 people, as you said. I've been honored that I've actually been doing this for 20 years now. So I've been elected and held office there for unbelievably 20 years. And it's really a different experience than what I'm used to. I grew up in the business world and been a business guy and started companies and sold companies and all that type of stuff. But this was, as I viewed my public service, and I was fairly good with budgeting money and managing money and things like that. So I thought, why not try to do it over here in the public sector, and decided to run 20 years ago, and somehow I won, and the people have kept me around now for 20 years. So it's been enjoyable, and we've got our hands in a little bit of everything, including what you just mentioned.
Well, Dave, one of the things there that our viewers might not know is that the success is always on the bottom line. You have your county there has an outstanding fiscal record. Can you speak to that a little bit?
So, yeah, I mean, people have widely considered us to be in the best financial shape of any county in the state of Ohio, and some people say the nation. This past year, we actually gave a property tax holiday of all the property tax that homeowners paid for owning a property inside of the county. You know, obviously the majority in Ohio of your property taxes goes directly to the schools. We don't control that. But the portion that we do control, we actually did a holiday. It was $25 million, and we went to the folks that run our Developmental Disabilities Board, which we appoint a lot of the board members there. And they had a nice surplus. They forgave about $25 million. So we did not collect about $50 million in property taxes last year, and we're still in tremendously good financial shape. And honestly, I think the reason why that we're in such good financial shape, we try to have a balanced economy. We try to not do one thing. We try not to just have rooftops with families and kids means schools, and schools means more levies. We can't just be a bedroom community. So we had an emphasis on attracting businesses here also. So we've had a really diverse, balanced economy and economic approach, which has worked pretty well over the last 20 or 30 years, to the point we've had a tremendous cash carryover. And keeps growing, and that's what put us in a position to do this tax holiday, which was the largest in the state's history, maybe the nation's history.
Well, you know, with people watching this podcast, they may want you to move to Indiana and bring your expertise over here, because sometimes we have a tax break, but maybe it's just usually a sales tax break for the opening of schools for families to have monies extra for school children, for their clothing, et cetera. But one thing over there that I know that when you think about, I told someone that I'm just glad that I don't get all the government here that I pay for. And but over in Warren County, you your fiscal conservatism and balanced budgets and doing things the right way, that ought to be a rule of decorum for other counties and municipalities to emulate. I think it's wonderful.
Well, we try to have a consistent approach philosophically of how we run a government. We always, and politicians always say, you know, I want to run a government like a business. That sounds great, but in a lot of ways, you can bring business concepts to government, but you can't really run a government like a business, because businesses don't have park districts that make you zero income. Businesses don't have police forces or fire departments that bring in zero revenue but have a tremendous cost, or build jails and things like that. So you have inert, intrinsic entities that will cost the taxpayers money, but yet you can still try to run those with a business-like mindset. So what we've done for a very long time is realize that government can't do all things for all people. So we try to just foster an environment where the free market takes over. We foster an environment where individuals can risk their free market capital and invest it here inside of the county, mm-hmm. and build their business and hire their employees. And then we try to stay out of the way of the businesses, and we try to stay out of the way of the families, and try to keep their tax burden super low and provide the basic things that with anyone that's in need, of course, we try to help them as a helping hand, but it's not a way of life. And then also we try to do the public infrastructure things that people can't do for themselves. So we've really tried to limit the scope of what government does for folks and really tried to stay out of their lives as much as possible, which in turn allows us to be fiscally conservative, because really it's not the success of any one politician inside of Warren County. It's really the success of our people and the way that they come and work hard and invest their capital and try to build something and try to provide for their family. So it's really the credit goes to our citizens.
I think that's a wonderful description there. And the tennis thing, let's just hit that just momentarily. Bring us up to speed on what you're trying to do in your vision there as it relates to the tennis application.
So, yeah, there are tennis tournaments, huge professional tennis tournaments, starting with the U.S. Open, Wimbledon, the French Open, and the Australian Open. Those are called the Grand Slams. There's four of them in the globe. Right underneath those four tournaments, there's something called the Tennis 1000 Series. They're literally one step below the biggest tennis tournaments on the planet. We happen to have one of them in Warren County. Mm. It's been called the Western Southern Open. It's the longest running tennis tournament in the nation, over 125 years now. It's been in Warren County approaching 50 years. And through really some fiscal decisions that were made by the U.S. Tennis Association expanding Flushing Meadows, where they play the U.S. Open in New York, they spent $600 million 6 or 7 years ago expanding that facility where everyone sees the U.S. Open. That's the biggest tennis tournament here in the U.S. U.S. Tennis Association spent $600 million, and then COVID happened. all of a sudden they still had borrowed this money. The bank still wanted their debt payments, but yet no one was going to tennis tournaments. So the USTA got into some fiscal issues and decided we need to raise capital. So they decided to sell one of the assets that they actually owned. So that asset was the Western Southern Tennis Tournament here in Warren County. So the USTA went and sold that and brought in about $300 million to them, which helped them with their debt service. Then the new owner, who's actually a really nice guy, a billionaire from South Carolina, invested his free market capital to buy this tournament. But he's a Carolina guy. And innately, he wanted to move the tournament, or there was a big discussion about moving the tournament to Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte started competing with us to the tune of a $400 million project, where they were asking government for $130 million from the state of North Carolina, Mecklenburg County, and the city of Charlotte was going to put together a $130 million package because this tournament is such a big deal to move it. Well, then we got involved, came up with a plan, and decided, you know, whether we like it or not, that's what the free market has decided that tennis tournament is worth to government. So I called the governor, got him on board, called our state senators, our local representatives, said, hey, can you guys bump up what you're going to do? One of my fellow commissioners was on board with bumping up. We went to the city of Mason. They increased what they were doing. So essentially, I went to the tennis folks and said, what if we match what this, it's a David and Goliath story. What if little old Mason, Ohio, Warren County, what if we matched a $130 million contribution to keep our tournament here in Warren County? What if we match that? And they're like, really? And it was like, yeah, really. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden we're going, or the owner is now going from having to spend $300 or $400 million out of pocket to enhancing the current facility to the tune of $260 million. Half of which is coming from government, and then the owner is putting in 51%. So now we're going to have this world-class facility that hosts 200,000 people come to this tournament every year. Wow. A $70 million regional economic impact, and in 2 years, it's actually moving to a two-week tournament, just like Wimbledon or the U.S. Open. It's going to have 400,000 people generating $150 million a year economic impact. That's why we did this, and that's why it's such a big win for our community.
I applaud you, Dave, and I want to thank you that you would take time. I know you're busy. You have a full day and evening, but to thank you that you would be a guest on our Faith, Family, Freedom program. I hope that maybe you would be able to do it again for us sometime.
I would love that. I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. Have a good evening, Dave, and we'll return out to the studio.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Listen to the great story.
Amazing grace sent down from heaven, rescued me from death and from shame. Opened up my eyes and brought salvation. Now I'm His, praise His holy. Just to know I have Jesus with me, He will keep me from sin and from strife. He delivered me from condemnation.
Friends, that's good singing right there. The Mark Trammell Quartet singing what we affectionately call the song written by Dad Spear, George Thomas Spear, G.T. Spear, from the place in Alabama, and became the nationally known Spear family. Isn't that good singing? I tell you, I've immensely enjoyed what we have already. We're going to have different guests on from time to time. We will be taking looks at the social, the economic, the political situations that we face in our nations. And we're going to speak truth to error. You know, truth becomes hate to those who hate the truth. But our mission is to try not to be abrasive nor ugly. But this podcast, I can tell you, this podcast is going to be right up at the top. This is the largest podcast, I understand, in on the planet. Maybe 193 countries are able to participate, to hear, or to see, and to be a member. It's like having your own front row seat at discussions and hearing people in their narratives, in their dialogue, give explanations and give us some vitality. You know, we as a people, we all need that. We need to be inspired. We need to be educated. We need to advocate, and we need to participate. I think we have a clip that I want to show you from Benjamin Franklin. What a powerful figure he was in the development of our country. Let's go to the Benjamin Franklin clip, and then we also will be hearing from Dr. Jerry Harmon and some others. Let's see what happens. Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps. Many times we hear people make remarks about the founding fathers. A lot of historians or would-be historians want to classify all of our founding fathers as deists. A deist is one who believes that God just created the mechanism for the world to do its own thing, and they do not embrace a personal God. Well, we of the Christian faith know that the Lord Jesus Christ is both God and man. But to use as evidence one source that many people have said, well, Benjamin Franklin was a deist, but I'd like to share with you today his epitaph. Benjamin wrote this: "The body of Benjamin Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here, food for worms. But the work shall not be lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more eloquent edition, revised and corrected by the author himself." Benjamin Franklin wrote this in 1728. To me, it seems to indicate that he had a faith in something greater than himself. And this is Andrew Phipps.
Hi, I'm Pastor Jerry Harmon, Senior Pastor of Grace Bible Baptist Church and featured speaker on The Everliving Story, a television broadcast that broadcasts on DirecTV every Sunday on Channel 363 on the Golden Eagle Broadcast Network. And it's my privilege to express my appreciation for Brother Andrew Phipps and the Ministry of Faith, Family, and Freedom. I appreciate the fact that Brother Phipps takes a strong stand on the Word of God and is re-energizing Christians across our country with a patriotic spirit, a love for God and a love for country. This is a message that's desperately needed in our day today. I thank God for his uncompromising stand on the Word of God and the message that he gives that is so needed in our country. I'm reminded of one of my favorite characters in history, a man by the name of John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe was the first one to translate the Bible into English. He translated it from the Latin text into the English text. And the motivating force for John Wycliffe was his belief that our government should be under the authority of the Word of God, and that it's the job of the people to make sure that their elected leaders, their rulers, are governing according to the law of God. And how can they do that if they don't have a copy of Scripture? So that was the motivating force for John Wycliffe to get the Word of God into the hands of the people. That's why a ministry like Brother Phipps has is so very important. He reminds American people that although we are living in a free country and we have a wonderful system of government, our elected leaders are still accountable to make sure that they're ruling according to God's word. So I pray for his ministry. I pray that God will continue to use it and for you to support it. It is worthy of your support. God bless you.
And I certainly appreciate the testimonial there by my good friend, Dr. Jerry Harmon out of Concocton, Maryland. I've been there to his church two or three times. When I think of Benjamin Franklin, one of the things that was attributed to him at the Constitutional Convention, a lady asked him, she said, "Mr. Franklin, what kind of a government do we have?" And Benjamin Franklin is quoted as saying, "Madam, we have a republic if we can keep it." Also, another great speech that he gave, he said, "The longer I live, the more of a truth I perceive, that if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, how can empires rise without his aid?" And so in our Faith Family Freedom here, we want to share as best we can information that will be helpful, that it will be a instrument, that it will be a means of educating us. You know, the word educate in Latin, the E means from, and do you see in Latin means lead. So we're trying to lead people from ignorance to understanding. And so each one of us can benefit from that. No one knows everything, that is, as a human being. But we can learn, and that's why it's so important that, like this podcast, I believe it's going to go right to the top simply because we are going to work meticulously. We're going to work with all of our fiber and all of our with all of the vigor that we can muster to have a program that you like. Different components and different things. We're not going to just have a talk that's incessant. We are going to try to vary the program with things that will hold your attention. And I certainly appreciate that. And I want you to help us. I want you to tell your friends, your neighbors, and your relatives that, look, this is a podcast that anywhere in this nation, not only limited to our great country and its exceptionalism, but countries around the world can see and be a part of something. Who knows that God might just take something like this that we think maybe is here on this shelf, and he's able to increase it and take it to greater heights. You know, in the book of Philippians, I believe it's 4:19, the writer said, Paul there said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So our faith is important. Our family is important. You know, Will Durant said the family is the nucleus of civilization, and obviously our freedoms that men, women have put on the uniform of our great country. They stood in harm's way. They fought in battles like Anzio, and they fought in Saipan. They fought Guadalcanal. They fought for our freedoms, and they fought in Korea and in the jungles of Vietnam and Desert Storm and all of these other places. So we have a great responsibility to not let our freedoms be eviscerated or to somehow leave us. We have to fight with all of the tenacity that we can muster. And I think Genesis' goal for being a part, a participant in this Faith Family Freedom, and again, we just need your help. And I'm asking you to do that. If you would be so kind to take a little time and say, "Hey, look, there is a podcast here that you're going to enjoy, because we're going to really add some flavor to it. It'll have some things We'll be taking you places to see, points of interest, and my goodness, I think that, and I certainly appreciate Thomas tonight for his helpfulness. Doug and Don Newsom today, they helped my friend Carrick Ains get the mechanics. I'm not very good at that, but I like to be able to be a spokesperson for what we're doing here. I think now that we're going to see a little clip that about gum chewing. Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps. And those of you that like education or have been around it in many different areas might be interested in what Noah Webster, oftentimes referred to as the father of American education, said this: education is useless without the Bible. The Bible was America's basic textbook in all fields. Abraham Lincoln said this: the philosophy taught in the classroom in one generation will become the philosophy of government in the next generation. And I think you can see what's happened as we put our emphasis upon secular values. We've gone from school happenings that back in the 1940s, which made gum chewing a problem, or getting out of line. Those were problems in the 1940s. Gum chewing, maybe getting out of line, the kids as they would line up for their exercises. Today, we have metal detectors. And we can see what happens when we negate or we leave biblical admonitions and principles outside of the classroom walls. And this is Andrew Phipps, and I hope that you have a great day. And friends, I appreciate your being here tonight. We have heard from Dave Young, a good commissioner there in Warren County, and how that through his leadership and others that serve there are making great strides economically. And I applaud that. You know, we cannot become a socialist or communist country. We cannot. The free market that determines prices and so on, it's always worked the best. I mean, when there are glitches, we seem to be able to work it out. And I think when we produce goods and services, we have to remember that we can't take away from the entrepreneur who takes risk, who owns private property. We don't want the government taking all of our property. I don't want the Chinese buying all of our land. I think it's repugnant. I think we may have to, and should have some very stringent laws that are relevant to that situation. You know, we are Americans. We are the melting pot. People came through these channels at the New York there, the Statue of Liberty, from 1900 to 1910. They say 10 million of people came through, but they came through in the right way. They didn't come through and break down fences and barricades and overrun our security. They didn't do that. As a matter of fact, I've read where they wore these immigrants coming from Europe and various places. They wore the best clothes they had because they wanted to make a good impression. They wanted to assimilate. They wanted to fit in. I have a problem with those people that come here supposedly because they don't like what they have in their own country, but then they want to make America into what they just left. All we have to do is just look at some of the larger cities like L.A., look at the streets, and it looks like third world countries. Looks like bombs have maybe fallen in the streets, people homeless, living out there in the most horrid conditions, deplorable conditions, and seemingly with no regard for standards of decency. Many are addicted on drugs. and even in our southern borders where we've seen the fentanyl and all like that, and people have died at because they got addicted to these drugs and so on. I think it's just terrible. I think we have incompetency in the White House. We have a man there that has no moral basis. I think he would sell out his mother in order to advance his own financial situation. And I know that may sound pretty straightforward, but Rush Limbaugh used to say, I say what people think, but they don't have the nerve to say. And I think today it's no time to tiptoe through the tulips. I think we have to be very outspoken. We have to take a strong stand, or we're going to lose this great country that we've enjoyed for all these many years. I don't want that to happen on my watch, and I'm sure you don't either. And so I hope that you'll help us here. We're going to do our best to speak with some authority, to speak with clarity, to speak with competency, and hopefully some compassion. But we must speak. To remain silent is but to speak. And so patriots down through the years have always, they've always spoken openly. Mark Twain said something. It just came to me to say it. He said, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a brave and scarce man, often hated and scorned. But when his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And sometimes we have an obligation to truth, and it may be offensive to members of our own families. Sometimes that happens. You know, during the Civil War, oftentimes called the Brothers' War, we had people out of the same family fighting on both, one for the North and one for the South. But we're facing some problems today, global problems, and it's become deplorable to see the protesters in the campuses of our leading and best known universities. And I think it's going to have severe ramifications, not only for the institutions itself, but financially and otherwise. When donors decide that they don't want to be a part of this, trying to promote people that hate America, that are part of Hamas, that want to kill people and do barbaric things, behead people, children, rape women, and have no regard for any kind of moral principle. We are facing enemies that we've never faced before. And unless we can get our act together, I don't want to rain on the parade, but I have dire feelings about where we're going with this. You know, Abraham Lincoln said it, and the Bible before Abraham Lincoln said a house divided against itself cannot stand. You know, we'll either remain, as Lincoln said, half free or half slave. And today we're either going to have democracy or we're not. And I think that when we think about this in its proper situation, we just need to know that we've got a great job to do. But along with that comes some great opportunities. And our outlook will determine our outcomes. If we are negative, if we don't see any hope, then we've already abandoned the ship, the nation as a whole. We can't do that. I refuse to do that. I want to speak. I want to give voice to those maybe who can't speak, people who are not given a platform. But this platform right here, this BBS is going to be a vehicle by which we can reach millions. We can become advocates, or we can put our head in the sand and say, well, our best days, we're not going to try to recover. And I'm not going to tell you that I think necessarily that we're going to have the best days ahead. I, from a biblical standpoint, that's not so. Wicked men are going to get more wicked. They're going to be seducers, and they're going to seduce people and become, they're going to be apostate, without natural affection, truth breakers, implacable, people that are given over to all kinds of sensuality. And you and I know better. We have the Bible, the Word of God, tells us how to live our lives, tells us things like, you must be born again. And that applies to every individual that is living. Without Christ, we face condemnation. We face separation from God, a place that no one wants to mention. So our focus here is going to speak to the faith that was once given to the saints. And we're going to talk about family, and we're going to talk about freedom. And I'm going to ask Thomas there to give us a bumper, and then I'll be right back with some closing remarks. And if you have that thing from Genesis Gold by Mr. Mike Lindell, we can even run that again. And I want to do all that I can to show our appreciation for the people that are such a vital part of what we're doing. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
And friends, I hope to have Mike Lindell on as a guest. And also, my good friend, Ed Henry, was also planning to be with us tonight. But his work schedule, he needed to be at a banquet. And he sent remarks very late. And in the morning, I'll be with him as a guest on his podcast. So with all the TV that we're doing, and I think we're going to enlarge that, I think we're going to be on more stations, and I think that we're going to be able to reach more people. That's our optimistic outlook. I do not like negativity. I really don't. It's everything that we do tends to, how should I say it? It breeds whatever we have. Negativity breeds negativity. Somebody that always thinks negative, that always thinks that something can't be done, that's parking on the street called can't do it. We have to think that with God's help, that we can make a difference. I'm not saying that we'll change the dynamics around of where everybody's going to be happy and everybody's going to do this or that. I'm just simply saying that we have a job, whether it's in political leadership or as pastors, we have to try to give our people some hope, to tell them that there's hope in Christ. I really believe that if we would heed 2 Chronicles 7:14, that God would hear from heaven and heal our land and forgive our sins. I believe he would do that. I believe it with all of my heart. And I think, secondly, that we need a spiritual awakening. Maybe like they had there in the 1750s with George Whitefield. If I remember my dates, George Whitefield died in about 1754. I was able to go up to Connecticut where the preacher where he gave his last sermon. And he told the people there he'd already preached for about 2 hours, or he did preach for about 2 hours. And he said, when the candle goes out, I'll, in other words, retire and go to bed. Well, when the candle went out, he finished his remarks and he walked up to the head of the stairs, and there's where they found him the next morning. I've often wondered, what did those preachers, they call some of them the Black Robe Brigade. Others were called, they say that the American Revolution was the preacher's revolt. And I've wondered, what was it that was able to communicate, to be a vehicle, something that could transition from what these men were saying? Men like John Leland, who later helped James Madison with the First Amendment that incorporates freedom of religion, speech, press, petition, and assembly. And I think what it was is that Benjamin Franklin that we just featured in his newspaper, the Gazette, there in Philadelphia, he was printing the verbal messages, the scriptures, and the sermons of these men. And then as it emanated and as it got out into the colonies, the five New England, the four middle, and the four southern colonies, and as it got around, people began to think, my, these rights, they do come from God. And so when Jefferson wrote in the second paragraph, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that when any government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. And I think those rights came from the readings and from the sermons and from the materials that the church laity were preaching and speaking, and folks heard it. And so these men, they weren't getting their materials from Karl Marx, who later in 1848 said there is no God and that religion is the opium of the people. Well, I think that this podcast, again, I'm excited about it. I hope that you can tell my enthusiasm, and I'm passionate about it. I want to, by the help of the Lord, to reach as many people as we can. We have an obligation to tell the good news of the gospel, but also we need to tell people to be vigilant, to be sober, for the adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I certainly want to thank you. I want to thank Genesis Gold, and we're going to have some wonderful guests. The list that I'm beginning to formulate and write down a name or two wherever where I can, it's going to be outstanding. And maybe you would like to be a guest. We're going to make it possible where that you can enter into the studio yourself and be a part of it. You can be a participant. That way you don't have to sit on the just the sidelines, so to speak. You can have your voice heard. And so with the help of people like Thomas and the Newsoms, Doug and Don and Stephen Nortier and all of my friends there, we're going to do our best. We will work tirelessly. We're going to put all the effort that we can into it to make this a masterpiece, something of which you can be proud and something of which we think will be beneficial to all that hear it. I have certainly enjoyed my time with you here today. It's been wonderful. I just feel like that we've accomplished so much, and we'll have other guests in from time to time, and maybe we'll have two or three in an evening. Plus, we will do some golden nuggets like we've shown, some testimonials. And through it all, we hope to have a program that will be of benefit to you, that will be worthy of your time constraints And we know that you have a lot of busy schedules, and particularly as we are getting ready to retire for the day and take our rest. We again thank you for being with us today. And I'm going to just say that until the very next opportunity, when once again we will feature next Tuesday night, 9:05 Eastern Standard Time. Now, for you in Mountain Time and Central Standard Time, of course, we have to make allowances for the time differential. But there may be countries, and I'm sure there are, where they're maybe ready for breakfast or working in the midday or whatever. But if you joined us, thank you. Thank you again. And this is Andrew Phipps, just hoping that you have a wonderful day. And we will close out maybe with our intro, outro, Brother Tom, and hope that we've been a blessing to you and to your people.